Hello, everybody. I'm starting a little early, so I'm going to tweet this out real quick and see how you guys hear the audio and whatnot. Live on Bearables. A lot to talk about today. I actually have a hard out today. I have to, How does the audio sound? How's the audio sound? Is the audio okay? Is the audio working? Good. I put my normal mic back in business. You guys want to say hi to George real quick? Georgie, you got your bone? George! Oh, he's chewing his bone. He's happy. Bad News Bears, you listen to Shostakovich all day. Oh, I love Shostakovich. Like, yeah, let's just play a little music first. Get everyone in a really good mood, and then we'll start talking, because there's a lot going on right now. We got a lot to talk about. Michael Ian Black tweets, Pittsburgh canceling my venue. We have to find a new venue. And just this insanity that I've been witnessing on Twitter. Well, at the same time, having to balance out health. I had a really good heart-to-heart with Amy last night that I want to talk to you guys about. And I have a hard out today. I can't do one of my notorious, I got to get out of here and then stay another hour things, because we have an ultrasound appointment soon. Not soon. It's at 1 my time. So I have to get out of here with it. I don't know how much time I have, but let's just get in a good mood. Court justice calls for the repeal of the Second Amendment. Oh, well, former justice, I believe. But yeah, we'll talk about all that stuff. Hello, Coddington Bear. Your little clone's been up to some bad business lately with me. It's one reason that I was extra on the warpath last night. Their tactics are getting unbelievable. So hit me with, I'm right in the normal chat right now. Just hit me with any song you want to hear, like anything. And I will try to, get something going for you. There is only one Coddington Bear, and he's awesome. The Sound of Silence, perfect. I'll play that, and then we'll get into business. We'll talk about news. We'll talk about life. We'll get it going. Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk to you again. Because envision softly creeping. Kiwi, where are you going? You said life is calling. Life is calling here, baby. I love that you stopped in to say hi. But I think she's done with the first draft of my brother's book. She's illustrating my brother's book. He wrote a children's book. I haven't had time yet to look at it. But I will. We're going to talk about time management in a second. In restless dreams I walked alone. Narrow streets of cobblestone. Beneath... Oh, hey, Paul. Yeah, you're here live, buddy. I love it. Beneath the middle of a street lamp, I turned my collar to the cold and damp. My eyes were spared by the flash of a neon light. It split the night. that fool said, I do not know. Silence is like a cancer growth. Take my words that I might teach you. Take my arms that I might reach you. But my words like silent raindrops fell. Dreams I walked alone. What's that one part when he says, and the people bowed and prayed to the neon god they made. That's looking at an iPhone. You bow and pray to the neon god you made. People talking without speaking. The internet before it existed. People hearing without listening, fighting on the internet. But my word and the words of the prophets are written on the subway walls and tenement halls. And the sound of silence.
Thank you.
darkness, my old friend. All right, it's a little medley to start it off. All right, let's talk about some stuff. So, Pittsburgh Hazlitt Theater canceled my show because they said that there was an article in the Adirondack Times, whatever the hell it's called, in my local paper. Hey, Georgie, come here. Georgie, come here, buddy. Come here, Georgie. Hey. Hey, love, can you open the door for George? Hello. Thanks. I thought the article was well written, to be honest with you. It wasn't even a bash on me. It was, it had a clickbait title, but other than that, it was very fair. It was a really cool written thing. And so they emailed us and said, Hazlitt Theater said that this is a real concern and they have to have a talk with us and all that. That's canceled. This is the fourth one that's canceled me this tour. So, and having to reschedule the day of the show, which is what happened in New York City, is very, 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 very difficult and inconvenient for people. My glasses, I know, are crooked. And so I wanted to get out ahead of it. So I, you know, posted last night a bunch about it. And I need another venue for April 28th in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. So anybody that has a venue, wants to make a little cash, it could be a movie theater, anything. And it'll be a blast, and we will have a better time, you know. And I'm getting very it's taken a lot of reflection and restraint to not just hate these people, because people were like, oh, you posted this girl's number on your Twitter or your Instagram or Facebook, like, that's low, bro. That's not what we do. I'm like, that's her business line, business. Yes, I don't dox people. I don't write people's home information or their phone number or private text messages people send to me. But if someone costs me thousands of dollars, which is what it will be, there's a good chance I don't get my deposit back. I already gave them $2,000. All right? And all these people that my pregnant wife will now be emailing hundreds of people to reschedule, like to tell everybody where the new venue will be. And I'm sure we will have to refund some people, and that's fine, and it's all good. It's part of the deal, but that is a absolute attack at my family's prosperity and safety and future. And every minute, every dollar they cost me is more time I have to be gone and miss birthdays. Like, I missed my son's birthday doing Rogan's show this year, and you know, as you saw with the show, like Kurt just kind of went a little crazy and I didn't really get to plug much, but I love Rogan, and that was, it's just part of the deal. That was my son's birthday. And so we just got to celebrate it yesterday because I have that awesome of a family that my wife gets it. You know, she gets it. She gets why I sacrifice, because long term, she's so intelligent and so caring, and she trusts me so much that she knows what it all is. So the money they cost me is money that they take from my time with my family. And I don't take that very lightly. And so, yeah, if complaints make it so that they won't let me speak at my own show that I already paid for and sold out, that I have no problem telling people what number it is. And let me tell you something about more right-leaning people. And some left-leaning people. There's some quote-unquote liberals that I don't think they quite know that liberal doesn't mean what it used to mean. If you look up the dictionary definition of liberal, I'm still technically a liberal. But it's the opposite of what a liberal is. A liberal is now a communist, fascist, authoritarian. It's all the same thing. It's top-down. Because people argue on Twitter about the terms I'll call someone a Nazi or a authoritarian or a fascist, and they're like, say Bolshevik or communist. I'm like, it's all the same thing. Centralized top-down control. And whether or not you base that on race or money or demographic or region you live in or family history or height or how thick your hammer is, it's all the same shit. The basic concept is does a central plan dictate your life? And why are my glasses so crooked? And I thought about something very interesting. I was thinking about the people who support me and are actively helping the free speech cause and the Second Amendment cause and a lot of these things, what they have in common. And I think I figured some stuff out. I think that it's about people with a sense of independence and ownership in their life. Because I have just as much in common with a lot of truck drivers as I do a lot of very wealthy business owners. And they all have a lot more in common with each other than they do, you know, people working at the DMV. And I thought about it. It's like there's some, like let's say a truck driver owns his own rig. That puts him in a pretty high level of trucking because a lot of times you don't get to own your own rig. But just picture that. Like you can make 60, 65 a year, more if you like really push it, less if you like have a lot of obligations. But there's a sense of individualism in that. Of the ownership of your own life. And that person would have more in common with someone who owns a private company and is worth $1 billion than someone that doesn't own their own life in any way. And I think that's why the Bears are such a huge spectrum of people, of whether or not, you know, there's lawyers and craftsmen and stay-at-home moms and professional moms and truckers and soldiers. And it's just... it's such a cool, eclectic group because the value is basically the don't tread on me. And it's a lot of them are also very, very smart. That's another thing that people that are attracted to these type of talks where you can, these talks sometimes can become like the songs where you just kind of can just, it seems random and unfocused sometimes, but it really is just, it's idea sonar. Where the more you just kind of look around, the more you can really see what something is. And I think a lot of people that are attracted to this group are like that. And guess who will not, like, who will not give this girl death threats? My people. The people I just described are the last people that would call a woman and tell her that she's in danger in any way. And the only reason I even put that number up was because it's a business. And they just hurt my business. And they have a right to know what's happening. And they have the right to know that there's a lot of people that were flying to Pittsburgh to see the show. That I will not let down. I will not disappoint these people. The show will go on. This is not our first rodeo, but you guys got to help me find another venue. Because this battle is very, very real. And it will affect our future, our future generations. And being called a racist. And of course, I dropped some hard words again last night. And the whole point is to show, like, look, you won't let me say these words. And now you're going to attribute to me that I have a desire to say these words when I don't. I have a desire to say the words I'm not allowed to say because I want to prove to you that censorship is already happening in America right now. I'm trying to fix these glasses because I know a bunch of you guys have like pretty intense OCD shit going on. But I had to take my contacts out. All right, I'll stop ranting about that. None of this is new. It's just a new city, and I need some help unbearable. So that would be Pittsburgh. And yeah, get my new special, How Dare Me, available at my website, hugepianist.com. And then to see Eric Nimmer get brought into this, I'm trying to get him a lot of work right now because he's beating cancer. Like, I'm not saying that I didn't bring up that he has cancer to have him... get like pity and shit. He hates that shit. I almost feel bad that I brought that up, but it's just laughable. The irony that my black opener who needs extra work. He went to law school, seminary school, is a 4-tour Afghanistan vet. The dude works harder and deserves more from this world than 99% of the people I've ever met. And he'll make it happen. And he's also one of the funniest fucking dudes you'll see on stage, right? And he's opening for me there, and I can pay him there because I'm making money there, and they're fucking taking that away. So I get pretty angry at that because I have a friend. And the thing that drives me the most crazy is when people make it seem like I have a black opener to shield myself from criticism. He's always been my opener since I met him. Him and Chris Milhouse, who's white, but super short. But, it, you know, Chris has to write a few more, you know, Chris can write some more jokes. I love Chris to death, but he's another one of my openers. Fraz Ozell is one of my openers. He's like heavy in Hollywood right now doing his thing. So, but it's infuriating to me because it degrades Eric. Not that it actually degrades Eric. Eric isn't degradable. Like, he'll just jujitsu any fucking thought. But to see some motherfucker basically implying that he's some kind of race traitor Uncle Tom because he opens for a guy who refuses to follow censorship guidelines intentionally is infuriating to me as his friend. And he's the one who had to talk me down where I'm like, I want to kill these people. And he's like, Big Bear, they know not what they do, you know? And I'm like, right on. But it's all very insane to see the left. And I try not to say liberals because I do know, like, Eric would probably consider himself more of a liberal than anything else, but he's not insane. He's not a postmodernist. He's not a nihilist. He's not authoritarian in any way. He's just had experiences with the military and stuff where he knows that whether it's the left boot or the right boot on your neck, it still suffocates you. And that's why I try hard to not say liberals and I say leftists or the left, because that almost kind of conveys the, that just almost Star Trek, the Borg or whatever, like that conveys that darkness that I'm trying to explain. But it's getting tough these days to not just hate people that do this. Anyway, let's start talking about some good stuff. That's my rant. So, any venues in Pittsburgh, April 28th. And for those of you that bought tickets at my website, you just got a receipt. We make a list. And anyone will tell you, if you tweet other Bears that have been to the shows in Buffalo, Cleveland, Chicago, New York now, that it's a really smooth process. I hire local Bears to just run the list. And you're on there alphabetically. And if there's a problem, yo, we'll solve it. Check out the my DJ revolves it. So, yeah, and I'm sponsored by Birch Gold. No, I'm not sponsored by Birch Gold. I'm sponsored by my own special. So hugepianist.com, $10 for the new special. All right, onward. Look at this. This is a CNN headline. Heineken has pulled an ad with the tagline, "Sometimes lighter is better," after critics slammed it as racist. Okay, that's real life now. And that's CNN. That's the biggest news agency in the world, and that's Heineken, a beer I've enjoyed hundreds of in my life, if not thousands. So that's insane. That's just insane. And the fact that Heineken pulled the ad, it's just like that H&M shit. It's setting up some potential genocidal situation. So yeah, they really know how to go after the monsters, right? The real monsters of the world. Sometimes lighter is better. It is. Dark beer sometimes gives you a fucking upset stomach. When you drink too much Guinness, sometimes it makes you feel shitty. Sometimes lighter is better. There's no racial implication. Anyone that thinks that there's a racial implication in that is the worst person alive. Speaking of, let's talk about Michael Ian Black. All right, so he says this. You know, everyone keeps saying that no one wants to take your guns. It's about common sense gun control. And I'll even post this guy and people will say, oh, he's just a random guy. Yeah, he has 2 million followers and he's a huge celebrity and he's influential and, you know, major policymakers will retweet him. All right, let's go through Michael Ian Black. I'll say it. Assault weapons aren't the problem. Handguns are the problem. By the way, he's right statistically. But what he's about to say after is insane. By all means, ban AR-15s and the like, but handguns kill far more people. The solution is to repeal and replace the Second Amendment. Make gun ownership a privilege, not a right. Okay, that guy, after saying that, that's treason. That's treason, what he just said. That's treasonous. Make gun ownership a privilege, not a right. Oh, and repeal the Second Amendment has been trending on Twitter for like over a day. Listen, watch my show I did yesterday. It was called Achilles Heel. I read a bunch of stuff from a Brazilian bear who outlined exactly what happened in Brazil, which is the exact opposite of what's happening here. They're now trying to get their rights to have guns back, because every 9 minutes someone is there's a homicide in Brazil because they took all the guns away, and now murder is unstoppable. And they also made it so kids can't be charged with murder, so the gangs use children to do the murdering. And for those people that are like, let's talk about fun stuff, let's just be lighthearted like we used to. Yeah, no. Maybe sometimes when it's organic, like yesterday the Bob Dylan thing was fun, but there's serious issues pressing right now. And I have a baby on the way, a 2-year-old, a wife I care about, and I want to see them prosper. And the fact thousands of people listen to this is something. And something's better than nothing. If I do nothing, I will become extremely depressed, because then it's like I'm just letting it happen. And not that I have any real power, but everyone has more power than they think they do. You know, the bigger the government, the smaller the individual. That's a great quote by Dennis Prager, who I'm recording some Prager U vids for next month at some point. All right, let's keep going with old Michael Ian Black. Most frequent argument I get from 2A supporters. Oh, you mean Americans? 2A supporters is Americans. That's people that support the Constitution of America. Is that they want the ability to fight tyranny of their own government. Absurd, says Michael Ian Black, possible rapist. Gun tyranny is already costing us over 30,000 lives per year. That's including suicides, Michael. That's 2/3 are suicides. So that's intentional trickery, by the way. That's intentional. Everyone knows that suicide is including people that take their own lives. If you blame guns for someone who takes their own life, you are literally taking away a human's right to have any sense of free will over their own decisions. That's the worst hell you can do to a person. Why don't you talk about slavery, Michael Ian Black? Why do you think it's so hellish? Because you take away someone's autonomy. You take away someone's ability to choose for themselves the life they want to live. That's what slavery is, and that's what you're fucking proposing. Okay, every 2 years equals total number of American deaths in the Vietnam War. Right. You're including suicides, and also, you know, we're fighting Vietnam. Granted, I think it was misguided. Not exactly our best move. But we're fighting communism and authoritarianism from spreading to America. Guess what Stalin and Lenin and all those guys did? They took away everyone's guns. So did Hitler. So did Castro. So did Pol Pot. So did Mao. Mao, Mao, Mao. Mao, 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 Mao. Okay, is that it for Ian? No, there's more. Michael Ian Black, quote unquote, how many times have you accidentally cut someone off in traffic and worried they might road rage shoot you? Never, Michael, because I'm not a fucking raging soy boy pussy. He goes on. Or flinched at a sound thinking it could be gunfire. Never, Michael. Or lost someone to gun violence. I have lost someone to gun violence. Gun ownership is a form of slavery. That's his final statement. Gun ownership is a form of slavery. I think it was Colt. I used to have a commercial way back in the day that God made man and Colt made him equal or something like that. It was one of those gun ads. And slavery. So you're saying if a woman who's been raped, who lives in a horrifying neighborhood, is 100 pounds soaking wet, has a gun in her purse because it makes her feel safer knowing that she could potentially take down a giant man trying to rape her, that's slavery? Slavery. He just compared gun ownership to slavery. Okay. Was that it? No, there's another one. Someone made sure that they tweeted me this today. And of course, historically speaking, gun ownership is entwined with actual slavery. Americans' addiction to gun ownership is rooted in inequality and terrorism. We don't have to live like this. That is nonsense. This guy's taken very seriously. He's a national celebrity and 2 million Twitter followers, and he's been retweeted by many senators and congressmen and judges. I just loved it right under it. It says, lost me on this one, Michael. Gun owners are slaves to their guns, or gun owners hold society enslaved? He doesn't know or care. So before the invention of guns, there was slavery, Michael. Before the invention of gunpowder, there was slavery, Michael. Genghis Khan had more slaves than all of the Americas for all the time it existed. And hey, Michael, he never owned a gun. Yikes. So that's a good time right there. I'm going to read some super chats. We're going to play some more music, and then I'm going to go back to what really matters, my family. And I have to get healthier. I posted, by the way, just to clear up that picture of my toe I posted. Some people accused me of having toe fungus. Nope, that was actually blood. I put it in black and white so it wasn't as disgusting. But this is what happened. This is one reason why my wife actually kind of had a good talk with me yesterday, that I got to start focusing on myself more. And, you know, my own health, my own happiness. Because it's like my family's really happy. And I think part of it is because I just work hard and stuff. But at the same time, it's like my big toe cracked. And trigger warning, this is way more offensive than the word nigger. Because it's legitimately, like, it's kind of intense. I cracked my big toe because when you're working, sometimes like work boots aren't good when it's like negative 20 or, you know, when it's insanely cold, and then you have to wear a bunch of socks and then those rub your feet raw. And so I'm not going to make any excuses. I didn't have the proper footwear, fine, but it's really tough to get the right work boots when it's insanely cold. And, I know there's going to be a bunch of dudes right now being like, well, you can just have the Flex Band at 9.21 and I'll send you one. You know, I get it. I get it that there's always a way to make it better. But just understand that, like, there's always sacrifices with boots and socks and warmth. So I cracked, my big toe got cracked and I didn't take care of it properly and it was just bloody. And then yesterday my toenail just fell off and I didn't really notice. And, yeah, my feet are a little mangled. I get it, but it's not fungus. That was like, it was like weird blood clots. and my wife kind of pointed out, she's like, the fact you barely noticed that, she's like, you really need to like pay attention to yourself more, because I want to get, I try to work out every day, but yesterday I'm like in my basement, on the bike, and I had taken George for a run in the deep snow. You know, I'm trying to like stay healthy. And I get these emails about the cancellation of the venue. And then I tweet about it. I try to keep riding the bike. And then I'm just like, it's just war. I'm like, how can you take this from me? And then I'm tweeting at people. And my heart rate's now elevated because I'm working out. So I think the new thing that I'm going to do is not have my phone anywhere near me while I'm working out. I think it has to be outdoors. And it can't be with a phone, because I'm getting so angry at these people for doing this. And then they hide behind the fact that they think they're better than me and I'm a racist or a bigot or a homophobe or a sexist or any of this nonsense that they throw out. That's the only reason I brought up Eric's cancer, which I feel he doesn't want sympathy, but he's beating it. And we're going to tape a special of Eric's within 3 months, I'd say. Part of me was going to surprise him and tape it at this fucking theater in Pittsburgh because it's visually beautiful. It's more beautiful than the one I tape mine at. And I thought something cool that we could have done is I just walk out on stage and I introduce him. He does a half hour, we record it, and then he introduces me. That way we could have done it for cheaper because we could have just already had the venue. And that's one reason why I was also extra pissed at this thing. And so, this is the fourth time it's happened on this tour. It's just, part of me started feeling like a little hopeless, but hopelessness for me just turns into anger or getting very focused. I don't experience fear. Sometimes I experience like, what the fuck Are they never going to stop? And then, you know, that's when me and Amy had that talk where she was like, because she's my number one supporter, man. It's like she's proud when I fight. She's proud. But at the same time, she wants me to live a long life. Like, she's like, I need you to live. And the number one killer isn't guns. It's stress. And, you know, I wonder if Michael Ian Black can ban stress. But I don't mind stress. That's what men are supposed to do. But at the same time, it's like, I got to have those like times. And it's so easy. It's so much easier said than done, to the point where sometimes I just can't even listen to it from people. Like I love Rogan, but like that talk on his pod, I'm like, man, that's like me just telling you to reach a fucking shelf. Because I'm taller than him, right? Imagine if I didn't have the, where I was like, just reach the shelf. Just do that. I'm at a level in my career where I'm famous enough where people like think I'm a threat and they'll hammer at me, but I don't have the power or the influence to have the venue scared of me. And so I fight, because what else am I going to do? And here's the thing about comedy. And you may notice that there are a lot of, you know, how do I put it? Like non-rich people. I wouldn't even say rich, because there are rich people in comedy. Okay, comedy's almost like military or boxing or MMA now, where people kind of on the outskirts of society that are talented, like, can potentially break into something without ties, without influence, without power, you know? And one of the reasons that Rogan is such a heroic figure is because he didn't come into this with power. He came from you know, his mom was a single mom, and he moved around a lot, and he fought. He's a fighter. And so that's why people listen to him, because he got out. He got, you know, there's so many comedians that have that story. And it's a lot like fighters, it's a lot like military. It's like, it's tough to get into something. Like, almost all actors come from extreme wealth or a very, very connected Hollywood family. Almost 99% of them. And even if you go on IMDb, you can't see that because it's not in the trivia or anything. It's like, at 9, young Brendan used to play with rocks. Yeah, in his castle. You know, his dad owns NBC. They don't put that part in there. And so sometimes I think it's easy for people to forget where you're at in your life and what you need to do. I'm shadow banned, right? That means a lot of my tweets disappear. And if you retweet them, sometimes your retweet disappears, right? Want to know what gets people to see my tweets? Conflict. It's kind of sucks, but it's a fact. And I'm not in this business or this life to complain about reality. There's times when if I just tweet something, no one's going to see it unless people argue about it. I've intentionally done spelling errors to get people to tell me I spell bad so that more people see the tweet. Like, in extreme situations of censorship or in political strife, you have to have them bring you the fight. It's an Achilles heel. It's a Trojan horse. Where sometimes I will say things that do not have the intent of hate. They don't have the intent of racism. They don't have the intent of sexism. They don't have the intent of anything that I don't want people to know me for. But I will use language extra harsh so that people with power, with influence, people with more of a, that haven't been shadow banned by Twitter will engage with me. And then they'll lose. You see them lose and delete their tweets and lose and lose, because they can't argue my point. They're arguing my word. And that's a little trap I'll set, and that'll get people to see my tweet, and then maybe I find another venue for Pittsburgh. And so when people tell me, like, hey, man, just, like, don't be so aggro on Twitter, I'm like, fuck you. Like, you don't think I'm 37. No one knew, like, until I was 34, there isn't a human alive that would associate me with intentional poking. I mean, I would do it in a fun way, a lot like I'm doing it now, but I'll show you guys a little clip. But it wasn't like this. And it isn't because I've changed. That's the craziest part. It's because the world changed. Our political environment changed. America's changing so fast. And the hypocrisy. I mean, these crazy people don't realize. Or maybe they do. They probably do realize. I'm done thinking that they're dumb. They don't realize that one of the biggest proponents of gun rights were the Black Panthers. Because they didn't feel safe and they didn't feel protected by the government. Like, it's madness what's happening. All right, look at this is me at 19. All right, check this out. Just because last night Amy gave me a real big hug and she was like you've never changed. And not in a bad way, like not growth, but like, watch this. This is 19. I'm 19 here.
No, I tried being gay when I was one. You know, I tried it out. I wanted to see if I was gay. I had a relationship with a man. It didn't work out, though. You know, a lot of it had to do with the age difference. You know, I was 8, he was 70.
I mean, I have a style of writing that I've had for a very, very, very long time. Hey, guys! Hey, love! 1 second. Hello? What's going on with the dog? Okay, cool. Like, it's not a... I'm not going to change for them. That's what I did. I've always talked shit to power and abuse. Like when in my neighborhood, there was kids getting molested and it was kind of commonplace for that to go down. And I would always talk shit to it. And right now I'll talk shit to the same stuff. So fuck it. I'm not changing. I was 19. All right, let's read some super chats. I'll get out of here. I might have to bring George in. I don't know. They had to put him in his little crate because he was getting into stuff. Ian, what is a classic book? Spreads throughout S-curve and so what if it's all wet? Welcome, gentle readers, to top10books.net. Love you, Big Bear. Sweet. Sorry, I'm just a little distracted by the dog. The Bear Jew, please let me put you in contact with my contract guy. Well, I'm not in a good spot right now for this contract. For future gigs, absolutely. There's been a lot of balls dropped on this one. Because they don't have to give me back my deposit. It's fairly, fairly devastating as someone who is a professional artist. Like, money is just time and security. So, yeah, it was a big ball drop, but, I will bear you. Amber, I'm really liking the sophisticated crazy man look. Looks good on you. Much love. Here's some honey money. Oh, thanks. Well, my eyes are getting really dry. Uncle Tom Bear reporting in. That's hysterical, Eric. It's hysterical. And also just so infuriating. HP50G. What's 150 yards long? Oh, by the way, Eric will be more successful than any of these cuck open mic comedian fucking losers. That's the irony about all this shit. Because, like, the people that have the balls to stand up against these people, because just like everybody has that shame weakness. You know, they have that thing where if they're called something, they don't, it'll shut them down. And I don't really have that anymore. There's been times I've had that. I'm done with that. And the fact Eric doesn't have that shutdown either, he'll just calmly... He's like, dude, I've seen war. I've trained to be a priest. I've trained to be a lawyer. I'm a black dude from Texas. Like, fuck you, dude. All right, what's 150 yards long and will eat your pets? A Venezuelan breadline. Hilarious. No Deck Bear, just for the music, compilation album someday? Absolutely. Uncle Big Boobs Bear, I just have to say I'm not sure what it was that you played at the end of the video yesterday, but it was absolutely beautiful. Super talented, Big Bear. Thanks. I was making it up. If you didn't recognize the song, I was probably just making it up. I play piano like I talk. I don't really have a plan. I can't even read music. Spark Chaser Bear. Hey, Owen, I'm a veteran Air Force, so not sure if it counts. Ha, Eric will laugh at that. And I wanted to thank you for caring so much about and helping vets. I served for 9 years and went to Afghanistan twice. Yeah, man. And it's not even like I'm this big, like, vet guy. You know, some people are like the vet people. I just find it, it's almost like how I was with, like, it's just insane that people don't, like, stand up more for vets, because it's not like, it's a very complicated thing, because it's not like they're like, I don't know. It's a whole other, I can't go down that road. I'd love to do a pod with Eric about that. But it's just, part of it was also just living in this town and having there's a drug rehab facility 100 yards from my house. No, more than that, 400 yards. And it's a half of it are vets on heroin or opioids. And so many of my friends here have just stories and experiences that it really shook me to my core the first year I lived here and lived down the street from these experiences. And, you know, it jams me up to have Guck send me a picture of his unborn boy giving him a thumbs up. Guck was almost a dead man. He was taking all that shit that, you know, his roommate, who was one of my best friends, Cap, died, also a vet heroin addict, taking this shit that's like 1,000 times stronger, that a few grains of it will like fucking kill you. Like, these dudes were like dead men. And now Guck's gonna have a boy, and he sends me a picture of him giving him a thumbs up from inside the womb. Like, you think I'm scared of these fucking people on Twitter? It's so like, it changes your life to be around people that have been that close to oblivion and survived and done it heroically. It wasn't just chance. It was like they faced oblivion and survived. And it's like how it gives me both strength and, I don't know, like hopelessness sometimes, to be honest with you, where I'm like, how is our society doing this? How is Michael Ian Black trying to dismantle the Constitution because he's scared when he's driving his little smart car? Like, I just don't. I think I'm close to that next level of peace where I can detach from all of that, but I'm not there yet. And I'm just fighting to either get there or everybody dies. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know, man. Life. I'm an aspiring jeweler, and I want to gift you a bear ring out of silver. Would you give me a shout out at ABAR, ABAR on Insta? If bears want to buy some too. Why don't I buy one? You don't have to give me one. I'll buy one. Let me know how I can do that. Just set it up easy, like PayPal. PayPal is the easiest thing on the planet. It's changing the world because you can just email people money. It's changing everything. And so if you set that up, that will be very easy. I would love to buy something. I will buy a bear ring. You don't have to gift me a bear ring. If you were Nordstrom's, you can gift me a bear ring. But you're not. You're an aspiring jeweler. 2-Bit Podcast. Your ideal is your judge. A Peterson quote for the ages. I think it's the perfect response to Michael Ian Black, especially because he wouldn't understand it. Yeah, I was on a cruise with that guy. I did the Impractical Jokers cruise 2 years ago, and he was on it, and he just was always alone and weird. Just gave me that vibe, like he's done some things. See Jester Bear. When God blesses you, it's better than what you lost. This is some solid proof that God loves humor and wants you to continue giving joy to others. Thanks, man. Yeah, I mean, if God wasn't funny, we wouldn't have kangaroos. I remember someone told me that when I was a kid, and I laughed. Parker, thanks, buddy. Jason, Owen, you need to change your pronoun to the N-word. It's the true eventuality of that issue. Also, can I get confirmation on Breakfast Bear? Welcome, confirmation. Or welcome, Breakfast Bear. Yeah, I mean, that's why I use that word specifically, because it's the belly of the beast. It's the ultimate. There's no sacred cows in words. You can have sacred cows in meanings. Like what Michael Richards did, although it was still artistic, I don't think that he should lose his career over it. It's jarring to see a white man in a comedy club screaming, "There's a nigger up there. There's a nigger up there." Like, I get that he was, the thing about what he did is he was spiraling and just trying to do some weird shock dinner theater. I don't know what the hell that was, but it wasn't stand up and it wasn't what I'm doing. I don't think his career should be ruined over it, but that there's so much more of an argument to like the dramatized use of a slur like that than just saying a word. And some people are tweeting me like, oh, so much of Twitter isn't smart enough to understand your point, Big Bear. And I'm like, my life took a dramatic turn for the better when I stopped thinking of the dumbest person. Like, okay, how do I appeal to the dumbest person? That's what a lot of these brands do with food and bullshit. It's like, how do I appeal to like everyone to the point they think that if you go low enough, you got everybody. But fuck these people. Not, I don't want them to die or anything, but like, what about the people that never have anyone connect to them because they're smart? Like smart people that feel completely isolated because everything is trying to appeal to the dumbest imaginable human being. And so I'm making my point to the people who understand my point. And if they don't understand it, they're not in my tribe. Like my tribe is smart people, good people. And that's all races, all anything. That's the funny part of it is it's like, I'm very, I discriminate against dumb people. And that's just the deal. And it's starting to become that. The tribes are almost starting to emerge in terms of what can you understand? And then with really dumb people, you'll break out into like racist or whatever, like actual me better than you because I have bigger feet. You know, like those guys are all in the dumb section. The smart tribe is the fun tribe because it's also you're more likely to survive. Ryan Willie Bear, Big Bear, just curious the size of venue you're looking for in Pittsburgh. It can be anything from 200 to 600 because if it's 200, we can just do multiple shows like we did in Chicago or even smaller. We can just do a ton of shows. I'm wide open, but up to 600, I think it'd be the max. Because I know we'll gain some people that'll come and we'll lose others. So I don't really know how that's going to pan out. Like, because, you know, some people just live in different neighborhoods and all that. I like my market economics, how I like my slaves, free, hilarious. Taking my girlfriend to your show in La Brea. I can't wait to meet the Big Bear. Love. Oh, love it, man. Yeah, and that'll be a blast. All right. Idla Desi, could you please come to Orlando or anywhere near Florida for that matter? Yep, the next tour I'm setting up will be in the Southeast. Letters Better is fat shaming America. I know it is, which is good because we're getting, myself included, we're all getting a little heavy. Hey, Alan, great show in Chicago. Join the NRA because of what Parkland revealed about the left. Other bears should too. Me too. I haven't joined yet, but I'm going to join the NRA, 100%. I think that they're not really standing strong enough, to be honest with you. I think they're being kind of bitched around a little, the NRA. But yeah, Parkland revealed more about the left. And Ben Shapiro pointed out yesterday that the gap between Republicans and Democrats, the Democrats were leading in a lot of these midterm elections, and it's closing. Because I think Republicans are now starting to be like, we gotta vote, guys. Like, Michael Ian Black's wearing a Mr. Slave leather hat, talking about repealing the Second Amendment, and it just got retweeted by a senator. Stephanie Walker, the world equals insane. We need your voice and will work to find venues. Request for you to play Death Cab for Cuties. I'll Follow You Into the Dark or any other songs. I'd be Southern Bear. Welcome, Southern Bear. I'll play that for you right now. That's a really pretty song. And then I'll get back to some more stuff. I'm looking up the lyrics. Because I only know a few of the lyrics. Do you guys ever remember that? The song reminds me a little of that Iron and Wine cover of,
I'm thinking it's a sign that the freckles in our eyes are mirror images, and when we kiss, they're perfectly aligned. Had to speculate.
I got a great story about that. So I'm performing at a music festival in San Diego, maybe 7 years ago. And Iron and Wine is playing. And I'm in a tent. And they're in the main stage. And I got a great crowd, and it's going awesome. And they start playing that song. And so I just play along with it. Like, we're playing at the same time. Like, Iron and Wine is playing that out there. And I don't feel like competing against something that beautiful. So I just start, and I get all my people to sing along.
Thinking it's a sign.
And then they will see us waving from such great heights. Come down now. And you could, like, we'll say. And apparently outside of the tent, they could hear the singing.
Everything looks perfect from far away. Come down now.
All right, so this song, all right, I'll play a little I'll Follow You Into the Dark, and then I'll be back to some more Super Chats.
Love of mine, someday you will die, but I'll be close behind. And follow you into the dark. No blinding light or tunnels to gates of white. Just our hands clasped so tight, waiting for the hint of the spark. If heaven and hell decide that they both are satisfied, illuminate the nose on their vacancy sign. If there's no one beside you when your soul embarks, I'll follow you into the dark. In Catholic school, was vicious as Roman rule. I got my knuckles bruised by a lady in black, and I held my tongue. As she told me, son, fear is the heart of love. So I never went back. If heaven and hell decide that they both are satisfied, illuminate the nose on their vacancy sign. If there's no one beside you when you're so.
Pretty song. It's a pretty song. I come to Boston, Big Bear. I'd love to. NJ overclocked. I had an argument with Michaeline Black on Twitter. It's still up. You can see it. He accused NRA of being killers. I threw CDC research facts at him, and he basically looked up my facts to his credit. Well, watch him on Crowder. By the way, Crowder's next date has also been canceled. I'm not in this alone, man. And Crowder is crushing right now. But you don't understand. It's like, he went to a liberal college and sold out 3,000 seats stadium. Like, easily. Crushed. No swearing. Family values. And he had another one booked for this Thursday that they have to cancel because the school couldn't provide security. It's a war, dude. And that they'll have, like, Linda Salsour and these people talk to our children. Man, I don't know why they're not, like, it's all good. Remy, drive by in front of my house 2 days ago. Immediately went to cops and turned over my gun so we could all be safer. Nah, I'm buying another. Yeah. Yeah, I know. It's like when the cops come 45 minutes later because you live in a shitty neighborhood, you should just give them your guns. Chris Siafi. Funny thing is the NRA was founded to ensure the rights of free slaves to own rifles and defend their freedom from slavery. Yes, slavery was a government program. Jim Crow, government program. Bulky Bear, USMC vet here, bought first handgun, my Walther. By the way, Walther's sponsor is Crowder. So, yeah, I think you might have some commercial thing going on there where you can use a code or some shit, but always support Crowder. Crowder's one of the good guys. And I've been friends with him now for a while, and he really is one of the good guys. So just know that. And got a PA carry permit. When I was waiting for my carry permit, there was 6 women also getting theirs. Right. Women should have guns. If anyone needs a gun, it's a chick. T. Kimoro. I love you, bro, but the venue hasn't technically canceled yet. Not saying they won't, but you're forcing their hand now, no? And if they don't cancel? If they don't cancel, I'll perform there. I'm forcing their hand to either cancel or shut the fuck up. And I love you too, man. But you got to trust me on this. This is the letter we always get first, and then they cancel. And guess what? When they cancel in a few weeks, I may not be able to get another venue. And people may have flown in from across the country for that. And if they say that an article written by a 21-year-old kid in the town I live in that was fair about me is a serious concern, they're going to cancel. And if they don't, fuck them anyway. So literally their options right now is they cancel and give me my money, or they don't and I perform there. I'll perform there. It's, for me, it's not about emotions. It's like, back the fuck down, say you're sorry, say it's a big misunderstanding, and I'll see you at the venue. But I'm not just going to sit here and let things happen to me. I got to take care of the dog. Give me 1 second. I have no idea why people... Come here, Georgie. Say hi to the people. Come here, Georgie Bear. Come here, Georgie Bear. Alrighty, buddy. Hello, George. You just want to see your big boy. 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 Oh, you just want to see your big boy. Oh, who wants to see your big boy? Oh, who just wants to see your big boy? Oh, who just wants to see your big boy? Oh, Georgie Borgie. Oh, alright, buddy. You're a happy boy now. I love it. All right, I know you're going to want to hit the door soon, but let's just not do that. Hey, Georgie, come here. Come back over here. Want to sit on my lap? George, come here. That's my boy. Come here, buddy boy. Why don't you sit on my lap? I know you like to move around. I'm going to run you in the forest today, and it's going to be a wicked good time. But until then, let's just chill for a second here. All right. JP talks about taking care of yourself in 12 rules. I know. I got to do that. The gun control activists conveniently ignore bomb attacks as if they won't happen if guns are banned. That's why I joke about banning murder. I know. They're insane. New video idea time for warmer steel-toe boots. Fuck toes. That's hilarious. AK-47 Bear here. In one of my college classes, we had a gun control debate, and my professor wouldn't let me rebuttal his comments. Yeah, that's not a debate. That's called propaganda. Oof. All right. What do we got here? Hi, George. Hello, my name is George. I'm a George. I think he's a perfect, he's such a George. Don't you guys think he's such a George? He's going to get huge, too. Steve Hughes, the liberal mentality. Oh, and I just wrote to Matt Christensen about doing his pod. I forgot to follow up, but I made sure I did that this morning. Steve Hughes, the liberal mentality, looked that up on YouTube. He's an Australian comedian who realizes the right is only side left with any common sense. Amazing audio. Would love to hear you do commentary on it, man. I'll write that down. Steve Hughes. I need as many comedians that are sane as humanly possible. Because we are a rare bunch these days. Yeah, and if you guys know any other comics that are really funny, they're not getting the breaks that they deserve, let me know. Because I want to produce their specials. We have to form a community of our own. You know? Because that's what the slaves used to have to do. And now we, the new slaves, right, Michael Ian Black? Gun ownership is slavery is like saying acupuncture needles are Iron Maidens. Well, it's not even, because it's the opposite. It's like saying acupuncture needles are feathers. It's like gun ownership is the opposite of slavery. Slaves, if slaves had guns, they wouldn't have been fucking slaves. Don't have much, but I support on Patreon. Oh, thank you. No, you're good. A joke about a mentally disabled firefighter called the flame retardant. That's hilarious. Could I DM you the unbearable book club tweet? Yes. I've been here with the bear since November, but never got around to verification. Could I be archetypal bear, or is that taken? Be archetypal bear is great. Baddish Bear, thank you, buddy. I see dumb people, the seventh sense. I see dumb people. I know, someone asked me to talk about how this season of The Walking Dead is no good or something. I stopped watching it because if I want to watch The Walking Dead, I just go on Twitter. I met Michael Ian Black on W39th a few years back. I work construction. Oh, West 39th. Saw him every morning at Starbucks. Definitely got the weird loner vibe off him. And you can be a weird loner, but just don't try to dismantle the Constitution. Oh, and why can't the right organize? Repeal the Second Amendment is trending. Let's do a march for our rights with Shapiro, Rogan, Rubin. You're the only one who can reach, who's actually able to contact these people. Please consider it. Well, here's the thing, is it won't trend because it's not run by a liberal app. Twitter is, like, progressive to an insane degree. And unfortunately, Silicon Valley was founded and pushed by leftists. So, you know, it's not about popularity. It's not even about marching. Like, they just won't cover it. I was just in a lecture about how music was used as propaganda. And I think comedies are way in, man. I really do. I think specials that aren't pushing an agenda will do so much good for this world. So much good for this world. Because I think competing with news is a lot harder than comedy. Because comedy, if it makes you laugh, it penetrates. Because, like, you know, Breitbart or Daily Wire or something could report something absolutely accurately to the T. And if it's called, you know, racist propaganda bullshit, like, people will believe it because there's no effect that news has. It's simply reporting facts. But comedy, if it makes you laugh, it won. And there's an awful lot of good people in America and in the world still that if something makes you laugh and someone else says it isn't funny, you turn on the one that says it isn't funny. And that's the beauty of comedy, and that's the danger of comedy to authoritarians. That's why, you know, I was last night in bed, I'm like, you know, love, like a comedian went to jail recently for a joke. Like, I'm not fighting this for retweets, man. Like, I don't want to be in jail. Well, my kids are growing up. I was just in a lecture about how music was used in propaganda in Nazi Germany. Sent you an email about it. Read it when you have a chance. Thank you. Well, he used a lot of Wagner. That's why I've never really liked Wagner, to be honest with you. Because it's like authoritarian music kind of sucks to me. Like, Shostakovich was a prisoner in communist Russia. That's when he wrote a lot of his most beautiful stuff. But that's why a lot of music is starting to suck now, because it's propagandized. It's the same four chords over and over again, and it's just nonsense. I'm a high school teacher. You might have been talking about the other side, though. It was used as propaganda in Nazi Germany. I'll read that email. It sounds insanely interesting. Joseph, I'm a high school teacher teaching Gulag Archipelago for the first time. What would you suggest supplementing it with? Short stories, poems, etc. Thanks, Big Bear. Listen to Dan Carlin's Ghosts of the Oster Front about the Eastern Front in Russia. A lot of people don't realize the most casualties in World War II. Hey, Georgie, you're okay. Hey, Georgie, come here. There's a bone right there. Look at that bone right there. Hey, George, look at that bone right there. There's a big bone right there. Say bone, say bone, look at that bone. Say bone, look at that bone. Say bone right there. Say bone. Ah, he doesn't care. Goes to the Oster Front. It's because most casualties in World War II were actually the Eastern Front between Russia and Germany. And I think when people understand how just the amount of deaths, like the bone fields, how still to this day there's 30 square miles where you can see human bones littering the ground like snow. Yeah, and I think another thing to supplement that with is have them give you examples of methods that they read about in Gulag Archipelago that they see in their life today. Because that's where they'll make the jump. Like, have them pick, and also, and vice versa, have them kind of see that, you know, Gulag privilege, that's what it would have been then. They used the same tactics for starving the landowners in Ukraine. And they would literally call them the equivalent of privileged. I'm dead serious. It's the same words. Oh, and the other day, someone mentioned posting a Bear's book recommendations list. Where is this going to be posted? I have 300 I would like to recommend. I think Redhead Bear just told me. I think that was Redhead Bear. Just told me she has a link. I'll post it after the stream. A book I recommend right now that has a lot to, that I think could have to do with soy. Hang on a sec. Oh. Cool. Then I'll be down soon. I'm gonna go to the... Sapiens. This book, Sapiens, is fantastic. And it talks about how wheat domesticated humans. Because wheat, it ground down our teeth and it made us less athletic. It's crazy. Just read the chapters on wheat. And I think soy is starting to do that to our testosterone. Like, if you look at the history of wheat and the history of humans, as soon as we started cultivating wheat, our bones literally started changing because we lived a more sedentary lifestyle. And it's just fascinating how, like, a different... Like, we domesticate animals, but wheat domesticated us a little bit. And right now I see that in soy. It's soft and small and long-term, but I think it's slowly going to start making men more like women. And women, I think it gives anxiety to. Rudy, hey, I live 30 minutes from Pittsburgh. Should I get my family to call the Hazlitt Theater? Yeah, do it. This is not doxing and this is not bullying, by the way. This is business. I sold it out. Like, call the theater. And if they say we didn't cancel them, just be like, oh, so you definitely are going to have them then, right? So you'll email them that it's on, right? I'm not here to destroy the theater. I'm here to put them in a position where they can't just bail 2 days before, which they just, everyone keeps doing. They have to commit. Either bail now and we'll get another place. And if we find another place, we'll just go with that place. Or they commit to it. But I'm not fucking around anymore. It's just not, I'm not just going to be like, oh, well, you know. No. Forgot to type in yesterday's super. I respect you for your attitude towards hard work. I've done 10 years coal mining in Southern Illinois to provide for mine. Dirty work, clean money. Can I be a brad-ass bear? Thanks. Yeah, my grandfather was a lead miner in Southern Illinois, and in a place, in a town called Galena. And Galena literally means lead. That's where my family was from. And it's very hard work, but it's very clean money. And I have a lot of respect for you, my friend. Etard Adventures. Feel you got screwed on Rogan's podcast. Yeah, well, you know, we all kind of did. And it's made me and Rogan, I think, almost closer. Like, I think that we've had some good chats since then. Like, he's a fucking good dude, man. I think when you're in a situation where there's that crazy energy, it is what it is. But I'm just honored he had me on. I've been on three times in 6 months. One of my life goals was just to be on once. It's like, I'm fine. I'm not screwed. I feel like the thing I regret is that we couldn't have the conversation that I know we could have had, because it could have been unbelievable. Because, like, me and him have a good energy for having, like, a long talk about really fascinating stuff. And he has an audience, and I have a perspective, and he has a perspective that together is just really cool. But it didn't happen. But that's, I mean, as far as fate goes, I'll take that over sickness in my family. You know what I'm saying? Your dog is sexy as fuck. Oh, thanks, Chewy Bear. Can you weigh in on the retarded Heineken controversy and Chance the Rapper stupidity? Yeah, I did earlier, Leo, if you want to recheck that out. But I'll just really quickly show you. Heineken has pulled an ad with the tagline, "Sometimes lighter is better," after critics slam it as racist. Basically, that means... That means it's so weird that if you apologize... This is why I don't apologize for shit. Unless I'm truly sorry, which... As you've seen, I have apologized for things when I really realize I'm sorry. Heineken was not being racist when they said sometimes lighter's better. The fact they apologized makes it look like they were being racist. So if you're like a young person that doesn't understand the intricacies of life and human nature, you now think Heineken was racist this whole time. Because if you apologize for that, that means that the critics are right. But in reality, the only reason they're apologizing is because they desperately want the approval of idiots. Because that's how, when businesses get too big, that's the problem. They're going after market share as big as possible. So they think that if you get a 150 IQ guy and a 50 IQ guy, if you go after the 50 IQ guy, you don't lose the 150 IQ guy, which is actually wrong. And it's a similar amount of people are 50 IQ as 150 IQ. Like, there's not that many fucking complete morons. And so what they're doing is basically admitting to being racist when they weren't racist, which is now perpetuating a false stereotype that pretty much all white people in all companies are just so racist that they're saying sometimes lighter is better as a shot against black people. That's madness. It's an Achilles heel in the capitalist system. And as we all know at this point, I'm a big proponent of capitalism. But there's weaknesses to it. And one of them is trying to appeal to everyone, you lose everyone. You can't, it's not about money. It's about what are you and stick to it. I liked Heineken. I've enjoyed ordering Heineken. I will never order a Heineken again. Not as long as I live. Never. Because there's enough beer choices where why would I associate myself with a company that just admitted they're racist when they're not even racist? It's insane. Chance the Rapper. I don't know what he did. My stream doing well on Facebook, but slow on YouTube. Plug, of course, Steve Pinder. Steve Pinder, check him out. I saw Michael Ian Black here at the Comedy Attic in Bloomington, Indiana. Jared from Subway is from my hometown, unfortunately. And when he found that out, he obsessed over it. Creepy fuck. Yeah, he probably wanted to hang with them and talk about their exploits. I'm not even kidding. I mean, allegedly. I'm not saying he does, but like, that's the dude that you're like, why are you always jumpy, bud? Who do you think's coming to get you? Your conscience? People you've hurt? Would love to have you in Sweden sometime in the future, Big Bear. I'll buy you a bottle of highly awarded vodka they make near my place. P.S. Just started snowing again, and I love it. Yeah, I might switch more back to vodka to try and get healthier. Or just try to... I don't drink when I'm home, really. Like, even last night at my son's birthday, like, everyone was having wine. I just didn't even have any wine. Because I'm trying to lower my intake of sugar. To lose a little weight and to keep my fucking sanity and sleep better. But really highly acclaimed vodka is the healthiest you can drink. And I'd love to come to Sweden, bud. Thanks for playing Sound of Silence for me. Also, I'm writing a parody song about leftist soy boys in the form of Don McLean's American Pie, renamed American Cry Night. That's funny. Where do I send it when I'm done? Post it under one of my videos, because those are easy for me to categorize. Or I would say DM me on Twitter, but if I don't check right away, it just... And it's gone. Because it's just... But I'd love to see it. Or just like send it to like one of the main bears that that has my number. That's a good way. But I mean, ask Bayonet Bear. I've been slacking so hard on uploading to iTunes, and I've been friends with him for years. I'll get there. I'll get over this hump. I asked you to play that Steve Hughes audio because when he laughs, it fucking kills me. He was the Australian version of your laugh. It's a pisser. Oh, nice. It's like a little psychotic. That's great. Joey Coco. Thanks, buddy. Reclaimer. Hey, Owen, I'm the trucker you gave all your cash to in Chicago the other night. That really meant a lot to me, and I have a lot of respect for you. You now have a fan for life. I listen to your streams all day while I drive. Oh, sweet, man. Oh, I'm glad. Thank you. Yeah, just... Yeah, this dude was saying that it like, cost a lot for him to come to the show or something, so I just literally just gave him like all my cash. It's kind of funny. But yeah, man, I love it. I've grown a lot of camaraderie with truckers lately because... I think they understand a lot of shit that a lot of people don't understand as far as just the road and just listening to books and podcasts and thinking and being a little on the out. Like, there's an independence to being a truck driver that I don't think a lot of people understand. Nick DiPaolo nearly got canceled in Cajos, New York last. Oh, this happened to all of us. It's not just me. As I said earlier, Crowder is the queenest. Like, have your kids listen to Steven Crowder. He is a great role model. It's like, he was accused of performing hate speech disguised as comedy. They dug up an old tweet, keep fighting, join that soy. Well, that's another reason I tweet so aggressively, because I will not be put in that shame category of that Michael Ian Black fear thing. Like, Steven Crowder, Michael Ian Black on Crowder, Crowder pulled up old tweets that were arguing about rape and how Michael Ian Black was saying every girl's raped and every guy needs to cut their dick off or whatever. And Crowder's like, oh, it's weird because here you tweeted, I feel like I just got date raped, time to rape or something. You know, like a horrific tweet from his past. And he just was like, I've clearly made mistakes and now I'm on the right side of history. And I'm like, you fucking coward. Field of Bears. Next time you're on Rogan, get different coffee. Also, socialism always ends in starvation and genocide. Yeah. Well, I even texted Rogan. I'm like, I think Caveman Coffee is about to spike in sales because, like, if I was just watching that podcast, I would immediately order Caveman Coffee because it was like the effect it had was so profound. Robert 5, Galena is Northwest Illinois and is now the gayest town per capita in Illinois. No, are you serious? It's right near, is it Northwest? Oh, yeah. It's Wisconsin, Illinois, Wisconsin, Iowa, Illinois. It's near Dubuque, Iowa, Galena, Illinois, Benton, Wisconsin. That's like the area where my family's from. Galena's the gayest town per capita. Well, they mined all that lead and then they put the lead in their gay pencils. Howdy, Big Bear. Would you play Gunner's Dream? Sure. I have 13 more minutes, by the way, because unlike normal, I have to go when I say today because we have a appointment for ultrasound. Let me just try and play it from memory. All right, let me get back to that. All right, so it goes. Floating down. No, that's not. That's it. Floating down. Through the clouds. I gotta look it up. Memories come rushing up to meet me now. It's such a beautiful song. Gunner's Dream. So, all right, here we go. There he goes. Floating down. Is that it? That's it. Floating down through the clouds. And memories come rushing up to meet me now. But in the space between the heavens and the corner of some foreign field, I had a dream. I had a dream. Goodbye, Max. Goodbye, Ma. After the service, when you're walking slowly to the car, and the silver in her hair shines in the cold November air, you hear the tolling bell. Touch the silk in her lapel, and as the teardrops rise to meet the comfort of the band, you take her frail hand and hold on to the dream, a place to stay. Enough to eat. Somewhere old heroes shuffle safely down the street, where you can speak out loud about your doubts and fears. And what's more, no one ever disappears. You never hear their standard issue kicking in your door. You can relax on both sides of the tracks, and maniacs don't blow holes in bandsmen by remote control, and everyone has recourse to the law, and no one kills the children anymore. No one kills the children anymore. Night after night, going round and round my brain. Done is done. We cannot just write off his final scene. Take heed of the dream. great tune. Pink Floyd, home run. All right, let me read these. Hey, Big Bear, your music really makes my mornings. Thank you. Can I get some Moonlight, third movement? Yes. Sin City Bear. Yep, I got 8 more minutes. I've decided to try stand-up while studying at MNSU. I love making people laugh in my public speaking experience. Any recommendations on degree pass or how to start developing my first routine? Yeah, just start doing it. And a good time to do it, you know, if there's a lot of people at a school, just get it going. The beauty and the horror of stand-up is there's no, like, entry level. You just do it, you know? It's kind of like if someone wants to be, like, an assassin. Or a porn star or something. It's like, well, how do I start? It's like, just get a gun. Thanks, Owen. All right, time. Great Northwest Bear, keep pointing out the hypocrisy. We got your back. You're helping me develop my own opinions and convictions. Well, you're developing your own opinions and convictions. I'm just giving you a blueprint on how to express them fearlessly, which I'm starting to realize is an important thing to provide for society. Check out the Keswick Theater in Pennsylvania. They're having Tommy Lawrence speak there, and the Soy Kin are losing their shit. There's petitions and everything. I will, Ryan. Thank you. All right, I'm going to get out of here, and I will say bye to you guys. Hit the like button. Oh, just breathe. Oh, man. I still have 4 minutes or 6 minutes. I got to play that. That's such a good tune. And get my new special. It's a hugepianist.com. It's called How Dare Me. It's one of my better specials. Just breathe. Hit the like button on this video, share it, subscribe, hit that little bell so that you're alerted when I come on here. Follow Nimmer the Great, Eric Nimmer, and follow his YouTube. I can't remember what the link is, but we're trying to get him over 1,000. And what else are we doing? Oh, yeah. Try and find me another place to perform in Pittsburgh, even if it's a movie theater. I'm dead serious. It's kind of almost exciting. It's punk rock to be able to just give me a place, and I'll give you the people, and I'll give you the show. All right. Yes, I understand that every life must end. As we sit alone, I know someone we must go. Oh, I'm a lucky man to count on both hands the ones I love. Stay with me. Oh, let's just breathe. Practiced all my sins, never gonna let them win. Such a good tune. All right, I got to get out of here. And if you want to buy tickets to the Pittsburgh show, hugepianist.com. How about, yeah, fuck that. I'm not going to worry about if it happens or not. Why don't we buy tickets? That's how much it will happen. We will have it. And then Kirkland, Washington, that's also at hugepianist.com. And this weekend, I'm in Erie, Pennsylvania at this cool comedy club. They're awesome. They love my shit. So that, there's no problem there. And then I'm in Brea in April. And Vancouver at Yuck Yucks Comedy Club. They're cool as shit up there, too. Oh, yeah. We have... Someone please like the video. Right now, we're at 666 likes, and that's kind of freaking me out. And, yeah, I'm about to spend the rest of the day with my family. I will... I need to be better to myself for health-wise. Oh, we're at 673 already. Perfect. And comment on this. Let me know what you think. I read most of them. And Twitter, I'm at Owen Benjamin, or Owen Benjamin is my burner account. So follow that in case I get kicked off. Is Lost Bear taken? Time to join the Not a Cult. I'm a lost soul trying to find my way and tend my garden. JBP, you have helped me. Thanks. Yeah, buddy. Welcome. And if you want to know how committed I am to like the JBP mentality, if you go back and watch my huge pianist special that's on iTunes, that was taped almost 4 years ago, I do a whole bit about tend your garden. That was the advice my mom gave me, that tend your garden and stay hydrated. Where it's all about the control you have is in your life, your family, your decisions, your thoughts. And it's a hard battle. It's a lot easier to project to be a Michael Ian Black and to say that the rest of the world is wrong and that we should take away the guns from everybody so that he's not scared anymore, when all that would do is make him more scared. The real battle, which I am currently fighting as well as you, Lost Soul Bear, is in yourself, and my ability to detach from nonsense on Twitter while at the same time fight these people. Because if I don't fight them, I'm lost as well. But if I'm too far in, if you stare too long at the oblivion will stare back at you, you know? And support each other. Support other bears. And support Eric Nimmer for having the balls to stand up to these people in such a crazy time. And support your family and yourself. Be healthy. Oh, the abyss. Yeah, the abyss. That's right. Please read my super chat. Oh, sorry. Let me just check his out, and then I'll go. I'll make sure I didn't miss any. Give me 1 second, everybody. Howdy, Big Bear. I played that. Galena, Valhalla, and Trucker. Steve Hughes. Silence. I saw Michael in Black. Give me 1 second, guys. Day posted Bear's books. High school teacher. Man, we have some really good convos on here. When I look back to make sure I got all the super chats, it's pretty amazing. Like the stuff that we talk about. It's like, you know, teachers teaching Gulag Archipelago, you know, a coal miner working for his family, short stories, like what books to read, how to organize marches. Like, it's so cool. Oh, it's Jennifer. Jennifer Locken, L-O-K-K-E-N, is the one who's going to be doing a book club. Don't have much support there. Gun ownership is slavery. I don't see your book. Ignore bombs. Love you, bro. Bulky Bear, Chris. Remy. Oh, NJ. Oh, no. I read that. NJ overclocked. But I'll read it again, just in case. I had an argument with Michael Black on Twitter. It's still up. You can see it. He accused NRA of being killers. I threw CDC research facts at him, and he actually looked up my facts to his credit. Yeah, I talked about that and, like, exactly what he did with Crowder as well. So if you want to check that out. And if you want to check that out, that's NJ Overclocked. NJ Overclocked. All right, I'm pretty sure I got all of it. And, of course, I appreciate the hell out of the fact you guys do super chat me and support me. And, and are out there arguing with people on my behalf. And it means a tremendous amount. And thanks to all the Patreons. Patreon.com/WDTL. Uploading that convo with my mom today. Much love, you guys. And I will open the packages. I promise. I'm just like on a minute-to-minute basis right now. But I love that you guys are in my life. And you make my life better and my career livable. And that's the irony, is a lot of us are making the best comedy we've ever made in our lives right now. And there's a lot of people trying to suppress it. And your commitment and just your good nature and your character is helping more than you can possibly imagine. Just like you guys will write me sometimes that I'm helping more than I know. Say it to yourself, too, because you are as well. Without you, I'd just be talking to myself in a white room. All right. Much love, everybody.